It's no secret that prayer has always been a struggle for me because I wanted to understand prayer. And I think that our understandings grow and our understandings are different, and some people don't have a problem with prayer. And I don't have a problem with prayer, I just don't understand it. And I want you all to see from where I'm coming from about when I say I don't understand it. Okay? So, over the years, I've tried to narrow down what my problem is. I've tried to narrow down what exactly is that I don't understand. And I think this gave me a very clear picture. And at the end of this study that Larry and I did, the end of this, it gave me an answer. I said that I could hold on to that. And it helped me. I could hold on to that. Okay? So, what we pray for. So, I asked myself, you know, what is it that I pray that is probably normalized with what people pray, right? Because we all have specifics in our life, because we all live different lives and we all have different things that we struggle with and different things that are in our life. But normalization that we pray for, I think we like to go to this verse here, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. My first question was, did God really want to know what I wanted? And so we take a verse like this, and certainly yes. He wants to know what's on your heart and what's on your mind, right? He wants you, and it's not that he needs to know where you're at. He wants you to be able to talk to him in an honest fashion. When he's saying this, he means exactly what he says. He wants you where you're at right now. Not what you think you should be praying for. You understand? But what you want. Where you're at right now, he wants you to start. Make these known to God. That's the best place that we can start, right? When we run across somebody that we don't know what they do or anything, and we talk to them about Jesus, or we bring up the gospel or anything, don't we start where they're at? If they have a mild understanding about Jesus, we can start with Jesus. I talked to this guy, gosh, it's probably 99 or 2, it's probably in 2001. No, it was 2000. It wasn't long after I became a Christian. I was still living in my brother's basement. He was a guy that worked for me for a very short period of time. He come over and he saw the Bible and he said, "Hey, I know him, Jesus, right? The guy that had the blood who died on the cross." You see, if I was going to talk with him, I could not have mentioned anything that Jesus taught. You know why? Because he barely knew who he was. I had to start where he was at. So I want us to understand. God wants you in this prayer, supplication, this getting to know the things that make you anxious, the thing that bothers, he wants you to start right where you're at. Not things that you think you should pray for because now you're a Christian, right? Now you're a good person. Now you're better than what you should have been. You shouldn't be wanting certain things. Forget all that. He wants you to start where you're at right now, what you understand and what you don't understand. So one of the things that we probably pray for a lot is safety. Safety for ourselves and safety for others. Why? Because on every aspect, both physical and spiritual, there's somebody trying to kill us. Isn't there? The devil is walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's not a physical lion. That's spiritual. But there's people out there that hate you because you're a Christian. There's people that out there that hate you because of who you are. The color of your skin, where you grew up. Whatever reason you can come up with in your mind, there's people that hate you because of that. So that's a reason that we would pray for safety, correct? That's pretty normal. prosperity. Nobody wants to be a burden to anybody else. Nobody wants to be dirt poor. We would expect that a God that loves us and that says He's going to take care of us is that He would help us out a little bit, right? If we don't have a job, help us get one. If we don't have a house, find us a place to live. If we don't have a car, get us some sort of transportation, right? A free bus ticket, a bike, a job that's close by. I don't know, help us out a little bit, right? Prosperity, that we would increase from where we were at. If we had nothing and we were looking to a God that said that I would take care of you and that I love you. Wouldn't you think? So prosperity is probably not a bad thing. I'm not talking about a health and wealth gospel. If you hear that, walk out. God didn't come here to make you rich. God didn't come here to make you happy either. There was a lot of tears and pain that involved with taking care of sin. So safety and prosperity is one thing that we would pray for probably on a normal basis. How about peace? Peace of mind. Peace that kind of goes with safety, but more peace of mind. Because he says, don't be anxious in anything. And so there's things that make us anxious. So we pray for a peace. And when we pray for peace, we pray for some of these things to be taken care of, right? Because they're just gnawing at us. They'll never go away. They just don't stop, right? We were sitting in the living room the other day, and I was already agitated, and I heard... Know what that was? That was a kitchen sink dripping water. But driving me nuts, right? About to drive me nuts. So I get up, because we have these little strainers that sit in there, because we don't have a garbage disposal. So we don't catch everything, but we catch 90% of the stuff, right? And we pick it up and we take it. So sometimes things get caught in there, and it fills with water, and it slowly drips out, right? It's driving me nuts. I'm talking about that kind of peace, right? Where you just go in there and you fix it, because then it's like a clock ticking, right? When you're trying to sleep in here. Peace. I think we understand that why we would pray for peace. We just want a moment where we're just left alone, right? Where we can look at the sun and enjoy the sun and smile before the sun goes down and we start crying again, right? Just want a moment. We can understand peace. Advancement. We don't want to stay where we're at. We want to grow. We want to grow in the Word. We go to higher education. We start out as a job. At an entry level, we find that there's interest and we'd like to advance in life and spirit and in joy and marriage and children. And we want to advance. We want our life to become more fulfilling. I mean, is anything that I've said up here so far, is that this is not stuff that we don't pray for, correct? And this is pretty normal mindset that we would pray for these things. Healings. We see people sick. We get sick. I would say that probably in every congregation around this table, that probably every congregation prayed for healing for some person. Right? It's pretty normal. When we get together, we think about people who are less fortunate, that are struggling, they need some help, and we pray for healings. So let's drop back like where I'm getting ready to punt, because I want you to understand where I'm coming from. Just become a Christian, have these understandings right here, and the sweetest lady that I had ever met up to that point in my life, her name was Retha. She had back problems, she had rods in her back, and she was bent over, and she was always smiling, and she was just the sweetest thing. You would have never heard her complain about anything. Now you would hear me complain, and so I marveled at that, right? I never heard her complain once. She was always happy. And you know what? I didn't believe that it was, I'm a Christian, so I got to be happy. I believed that she was happy. She got sick. She went into the hospital one time. She had many health problems. She went into the hospital one time, and then all of a sudden they told her she, and I may not have this 100% right, but she had stomach cancer, and it was advanced, and she didn't come out of the hospital. I don't even think she ate. It'd be like if we just went into the hospital because we couldn't go to the bathroom, or we just had problems, and we just, I got to go to the doctor. You go in there, and they put you in the hospital, and they tell you you have stage 4 or stage 5. I don't know what all the stages are, but to say you have end-stage stomach cancer, and we're going to have to put a feeding tube in you, and you got about 6 months to live. That's kind of the way it was, right? Hey, safety, prosperity, peace, advancement, healings. This was the God that I came to know. And so I prayed for her earnestly with nothing in it for myself, right? This is not going to benefit me. I'm not asking for anything for myself. Just heal this sweet woman because we need her. And I can't imagine her just dying. Well, guess what happened? She just died. Just like that. Just like she was nothing. Just like nothing happened, right? Yeah, but I mean, as a young Christian, that's not what you see. Right? I mean, this is not a mindset that we have. These are things that we all pray for. I'm going to show you the things that we might be where we think we are, but we're not. I'm going to show you these things, okay? This is what I saw. This is why I didn't understand prayer. Why did God not heal her? When we ask for people to be healed here, don't we? We're not confused. We don't mean, Lord, kill her so that she can really be healed. We say, Lord, heal her, right? When you go for a test, let the report be good. Don't let it be bad so that they'll die and they're really healed. Heal them, right? That's what we mean, isn't it? She just died like she was nothing. That's what I saw. Died like she nothing. That's why I have a problem with prayer, because I didn't understand. Did I do something wrong? A lot of people would tell me that I didn't believe that He could heal her. Let me tell you something. This is the God I knew. I knew that He could heal her. I knew that He could heal her. So why didn't He? Right? So we look at another verse that helps put this verse into perspective. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9 says that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. The people that wrote this, right? Paul, who wrote this, and the people that read this in the early church in Corinth, does this look like something that they were praying for? Lord, I love You today, and I just thank You that I have the sentence of death in myself. And if I don't, Lord, just please let me be reminded that with each step that I take today, let me know that I have the sentence of death in myself. Is that what you would have prayed for? Does it look like that when He wrote this and said we had the sentence of death, that we shouldn't trust ourselves, does it look like that they got what they prayed for? Remember the things that were normal to be praying for. Safety, prosperity, peace, advancement, healings, sentence of death. That confuses me. I don't want to just say trust God, because you know that's an easy word to throw around. People who've been married and have been cheated on and get married again, you know, it's always in the back of their mind. People who are cheaters are always looking for an out. They always have a reason why that they need this. Okay? When you've been wronged, it's difficult to trust. It's always there. It's always there. I don't want to just say trust God and act like I do trust God. You know what? I want to trust Him. So I want to know what happened here. I want to know an answer. And this is not something that I ask and then I went home, right? And I prayed. And I woke up the next day with the answer. This was like 2002, because Lauren was just a little bitty baby and she was so cute. We had pictures, and I remember showing her to Aretha, and she cried because she said, I won't get to see this little girl grow up. So I know about when it was, right? So this is something that happened back in 2002. This was 20 years ago. And this was a struggle that I've been fighting with for 20 years to understand, what do we do with prayer? Because you know what? These things were common. Did you think, he's crazy for asking for these things when I was going over them? No. Would the apostles have been crazy for asking that they should prosper and advance as the church was going forward? Wouldn't that have made good sense for these people to become powerful and push the church? To stand behind the church that way? Wouldn't that have made sense? But that's not what happened. So I want to know what's going on. 20 years. Do you know when you pray for safety, sometimes all you see is accidents and trouble? How come? You've been a Christian for a while. I've been a Christian for 20 years. You don't think I prayed for safety? You don't think I've seen accidents and trouble? Why? Why did God decide, did He roll some dice and decide that He was going to let me be carefree today and not tomorrow? When you pray for prosperity, I had a successful business. It's gone. Why? Why? Well, I'm an elder now, so I mean, I'm just using that as an example. I couldn't have been an elder if I would have stayed in that. So it's not about that. I'm just saying we pray for prosperity. Is there not loss? Do we not understand what loss means? We think it's going to be one way, and we find out it's going to be another. We got $100. Wow, man. I mean, could you remember being as a child and you had $100? You felt like you had $1,000,000. You felt like you could have bought everything. Now if somebody says, well, you got $100 left this week, and you're like, I'm broke. That won't do nothing. That'll barely put gas in our car today, right? $100. You put gas in your car and go get a combo and you're done. That's sad. How about we pray for peace and all we seem to find is frustration? You're praying for that peace, but you stop the dripping of the water and something else happens. You know, if you're outside and, let's see if I get this right. Oh, and there's bees around, right? Nobody likes bees because they'll sting you, right? They'll sting you. They'll slide in. They're sneaky, and they don't think nothing about it. They'll slide in behind you when you raise up to get your drink, and you sit back, and they sting you right here, right? It doesn't just hurt a child. It still hurts, right? It's like that stinger sticks you in the bone. You know what happens when you get rid of bees? Then the flies come. You know why? Because bees kill flies, take their wings, and make their nests out of. So when you kill the bees, the flies come. You ask for peace, and it seems like there's nothing but frustration day after day. Somebody always wanting something from you. Somebody's always telling you what you got to do. Somebody always telling you what you did wrong. Somebody always telling you how you could do better, how you could make more, what you should have done. Where's peace in that? How about advancement that only leads to stress? Am I going to get the job? What am I going to get the job? Am I going to get the job? Oh, I hope I get the job. Lord, let me get the job. Wake up. It's 1 week. Man, am I going to get that job? Lord knows what I... Yeah, I'm going to get that job. And that's just stress. That's crushing. That's anxiety. That's just where you almost can't breathe. People go to doctors to get medication because this comes upon them. It's a real symptom. You know that. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm going to get stress. And even if you get the advancement, guess what? Nobody's going to pay you more to do the same thing. And with healings, guess what happens? There comes death. And so, 20 years in my understanding is this. I got a little bit more, right? Everyone can't be healed because death comes to this body. God didn't not care about her. The devil didn't care about her. The devil is the one that has death reigning right now because of sin. Right? The devil's the one that didn't care about her. God loved her. And she committed her life to God. That's where her peace, that's where her happiness come from. And I could see it in her face. Never once did I ever hear her. Now, people who knew her longer, They might have seen that old woman come out in her, you know what I'm saying? That old fire that would come out in an old woman. She'd take that frying pan and whip you upside the head, right? That kind of fire. They might have seen that, but I never saw it. I just saw the sweetest woman that never complained. But she died. But as time went on, I realized everybody dies. Even Jesus died. I'm going to die. I look in the mirror every time when I look in the mirror. And I think, I'm just getting older and older. And one day, my life will be gone. And for the most part on this world, just simply forgotten. I knew my grandfather, but I didn't know. And I knew my great-grandfather a little bit. But the one that came before him, his memory's gone. You know why? Because everybody that knew him or knew of him is gone. I'm going to be forgotten one day. And I look in the mirror and I realize that death is coming in that way for everyone. So I couldn't hold God responsible that he didn't care about Aretha. But you know what happens when you're praying for safety and then trouble comes and you pray for peace and frustration comes and you pray for prosperity and frustration and loss and you all of this, you know what this creates? An endless cycle of anxiety and worry. Is God going to do this? Is he going to do this? Is he going to do this for me? I don't need this. Is he going to rescue me? Is he going to do... Constant worry. God has told us two things. He said, do not worry about your life. Well, that's easier said than done, God. That's easier said than done. Anxiety that comes from the worry, because you just don't know what's going to happen, how it's going to turn out. It literally eats you alive. And he just told you, be anxious for nothing. And he told you, don't worry about your life. I didn't put that scripture up there, but Jesus told him, he said, you watch the sparrow and it's fed. And it doesn't do all the things that you do, yet God makes sure that they're fed. Aren't you worth more than them? You know why that we pray for all these things and we get anxious and we worry? We forget one thing about all of this stuff. Whether we're safe or not safe, we live, we die, we have or we don't have, all of it is temporary. Every bit of it. I want you to understand what temporary means. Because see, right now, it doesn't feel temporary, right? You wear shoes that hurt, your feet hurt. That's not temporary because you can go and take them off, but right now your feet hurt, right? Temporary is not temporary when it's going on right now. But I want us to understand what that means. We're in elementary school, and this person didn't like us and called us a big dummy head, and this person took this, and they had the same lunchbox as we did. You know what happens when you get into junior high school? You don't care about what happened in elementary school. Right? You remember that feeling? And then when you went from junior high and you went into high school, you're big time now, man. It's high school, right? Okay, elementary school, shoot. Then you get into college and you look back at high school and it almost seems trivial. I'm 51 years old. All of that stuff that happened to me, that I cried about, that I got angry about, that I fought about, and I lost about, I don't remember any of it. That's what temporary is. It don't feel like temporary when you're going through it, did it? But it was temporary. And so all these things that we pray for, that's reasonable to pray for, and all the things that actually happen, because see, this is what the apostles saw. Frustration, stress, and death, right? Paul told the church, he said, I'm angry with you because you've gone after another Jesus. I'm angry with you because you followed another spirit. You would have thought that when Paul came and said something to you or wrote a letter directly to you that you would have listened, and they didn't, and that made him angry. All of that anxiety and worry, it was temporary. It's what we pray for. So, it's reasonable to expect that John and Jesus were asked this question. They told They told Jesus, they said, tell us how to pray like John taught his disciples how to pray, right? And they call this the Lord's Prayer, but this was the prayer that the Lord told us because the Lord had no transgressions to forgive. There's a Lord's Prayer that we see that I believe it's in John when he talks about the Spirit and he talks about all this, but this is how he taught us to pray. I want us to take a look at this. Well, before I say that, I want us to ask, in all this stuff that we ask for, where in all that we pray for do we ask what He wants? See, a light bulb should have just went off. We're so focused on the temporary, which is our life, that we forget to know what He wants. Now, this filters into our prayer as we mature, but this is a very difficult concept to almost, in a sense, exclude you from your own prayers. Because, see, our life is temporary. What God is accomplishing through the apostles, what He accomplished with the apostles, lasted so far into the future that if they prayed, they were more focused on those people than they were themselves. Can you see that? I know you can see it. They knew that it was more important that the people who heard them prosper than it was for them to prosper. That's a foreign concept to us, isn't it? And we didn't talk about that because I want us to see in this prayer in Luke, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. How much in this prayer do we see about the things we pray for? Remember things we went over? Peace, safety, prosperity, healing. Did you think I was crazy when I said, we're going to pray for peace, safety, prosperity, healing? You probably thought, man, these are good things. This is how Jesus told us that we should pray. Where do we see all that in here? Where do we see that in here? You see, if these things were so important for us to continually ask Jesus for, I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for healing. We should. You know why? Because through prayer, people are healed. He even says so, the prayer of the righteous availeth much, right? The ear is attentive to the prayers of the righteous. God didn't tell you He's going to listen and not listen. But you're expecting an outcome when you pray and you don't see any other way, and that creates anxiousness and stress, and you're wondering why God didn't answer your prayers. If we were to continually pray for the things that we continually pray for, and again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for peace and prosperity and advancement. We all do those things, okay? But if we were to continually pray for those, and those were to be our focus, why didn't He mention any of that up in here? Why didn't He do that? Looks like to me He mentioned about the Father taking care of our needs, which we say we believe, but we're asking for so much more when we ask for the things that we continually, day after day, pray for. How often do we pray that He would forgive our sins? Probably a lot, right? Lord, forgive me. But how often do we pray, You forgive us the way that we forgive others? You treat me like I treat others. You talk to me like I talk to others. I don't think we pray in that manner, do we? You see, there's a lot that I didn't understand about prayer. I'm not looking for fluff. I'm looking for depth. I want to wake up every morning, if I wake up, and why I want to know that I can trust God. But here's what I was trusting, is that God would hear my prayers and answer them. There's something that I was missing completely in this situation. No matter the situation, whether if there was life or death, we can trust that in Christ we will have strength to overcome. I'll break that down for you a little bit. No matter what the day brings, no matter what he decides to do, I'm saying before the day starts that I'm willing to accept your resolve, your will in this matter. Just help me get through it. Now, let me ask you something. We've prayed for peace and we don't always get it. Do you believe that God can give you the strength to face no matter what happens today? Yes. You see, that doesn't create anxiety, does it? For us to know that God can give us the strength to handle whatever comes today. Because you can look back on your life and you could see a point in your life where you have literally given up, or were this close to giving up, or thought about giving up. But you didn't. You know why? God gave you the strength to overcome it. It wasn't the devil. He didn't care about Retha. I saw her about 2 hours before she died. And I come in there. She was laying on the bed, and I was crying. I said, "I'm so sorry." She put her hands on my face, and she said, "Isn't it wonderful what wonderful for me?" She was dying, and I know that wasn't a good feeling. Just, "Do you want to die today?" Yeah, I think probably first thing that come to mind as well, probably not. She was dying, and she said, "Isn't it wonderful?" She knew what I didn't know, is that no matter what happened, life or death, she had committed, she could trust God. If that doesn't have an impact on our prayers, I don't know what will. We want healing. We don't want to see people move on. We don't want to see death. We don't want to see change, that life-altering change. But you know what? Sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it is just necessary. Joseph went through a pit, came out on the other side as the king of Egypt. And his whole family who put him in that pit came to him and bowed down to him and begged his mercy. I'm not saying that's what you should pray for God. I just want you to know that's the God that we serve. This should impact your prayer life to know that no matter what you're doing, what you're praying for, leave room for what He wants. Grow in that direction. And no matter what happens as you wake up that day or as you go to bed that night, let Him know that you trust Him and mean it. We can say we trust Him, but I'm talking about meaning it, right? You say you stand up at the wedding vows and you say all these things, and it's all pretty in the beginning. She's standing there in a white dress and she's happy for the last time in her life, right? You're standing there and you've got money in your wallet for the last time in your life. And y'all were both so happy standing there. You're like, "Yes, I'll do this for you." That's very different than 25, 30, 40, 50 years later, and you're still honoring that commitment. That's somebody who trusts, right? That's somebody who trusts. And so we can say we mean it, and we don't know what all that entails, but when we say we trust God, when we're going to sleep, when we wake up and say, "Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today, but help me trust You with this day. Don't let me complain. Don't let me fight against it. Just help me trust You with today and let me have Your peace so that I can move on." And we all just said what? Yeah, we believe God can do that. Where's the anxiety and stress there? And you know what? Trusting Him is never temporary. Somebody said it this morning, right? Much better life to trust God. You know, Peter when they told him that Jesus had been taken, and they said, "You're one of them. You're one of them." Sorry. He said, "You're one of them," and the Bible says he cursed at him, and he said, "I'm not one of those freaking people. I didn't know that man." You know what he had said prior to that? He said, "Lord, I'll die with you if I have to." See the difference between saying it and doing it? He eventually did it. But he came to trust him because Jesus came back and said, "Peter, do you love me?" He says, "You know all things. You know I love you." He asked him again. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" Remember how our prayer life should start. It's what I said in the beginning. Start with where you're at. Don't pray for what you think you should pray for. Don't pray because what I told you to pray for. Don't pray how you read. Start with where you're at. Start that relationship with God. This is your intimate personal time to get depth from God, to commune with God in a way that has nothing to do with me. This is where you're at and where you want to be in Christ. Now the goal is still the same. But where you have strengths and the weaknesses that you need to overcome may have nothing to do with where I'm at. And vice versa. You start where you're at. That's what Peter did. He told him, "I will die for you." He meant it. He shied away from it, but he did it. That shows us that he meant what he said, but he had to learn to trust in God's way. He didn't die the way he thought he was going to die, did he? He thought he was going to die with a sword fighting beside Jesus. That's how he thought he was going to die. That's not how he died. But all the same, he meant what he said. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit." It almost seems crazy to tell you, trust what that says. After all that we've been through, you're thinking, "Of course I trust that." But do you? There's a lot of people that will say that they had the Spirit before they were ever immersed. And we're told that immersion brings the Spirit. What's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?